Amen. Your song service was so good, I couldn't hardly sing. I just had to cry. Lord bless you all. My wish and desire this morning is for all of you to be full of the grace of God, to be filled with His presence, to know Him who is able to save to the uttermost that come to Him. Praise be to Him. He's worthy of it all. Let us pray. Lord, this morning, we thank You for a beautiful day. We thank You for a beautiful salvation. Thank You for calling us to come to You. Lord, we could sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home," this morning, and it would be very true. Now, I pray this morning that You'd bless this, continue to bless this meeting. Lord, help me to just share the things You want me to share. Preach the things You want me to preach. Most of all, help me to live the things I preach. I want to just thank You for Your mercy to us all. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. We never know. Will we be here next Sunday? But we know that You are our God. You are our Savior. And You're sufficient to the very end of our life. So bless this meeting. Bless this, the words. Help us, Lord, to find something for our poor souls here on this earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, I was very blessed this morning and encouraged. This is kind of a special day for us anyhow, because tomorrow's our wedding anniversary. And so Brother Elson asked me to share, and I didn't know if I should or not, because it's going to be so packed this weekend, I thought I didn't know if I could, but the Lord's been good to me. The Lord's helped me. So I don't know if this will be edifying to you or not. But I'll share what I got. I just want to share what God has. Some of you may not know who I am, but I don't know all your faces, but I know some of them. Thank you for those who have come from the congregation up at Shining Light. But I thought of that song. This kind of will give you an idea who we are. We're young Christians on our way to a land that's far away. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we're walking in His light. If you'd like to join us, you must be brave. Believe on the Lord and be saved. Obey the captain of this fearless band, and sing the song of the saved. And sing the song of the saved. We're fighting for the souls of men. We want to see them born again. We're going to conquer, we're chosen few. Obey the Lord when He calls for you. We'll give our lives if we must, we'll die. but we'll live again on the other side. And death has no sting for us to flee, for death has been swallowed in victory. Hallelujah. So if you'd like to join us, you must be brave, believe on the Lord, and be saved. I don't know if you're all saved here today or not, but my desire is that you be saved. And my desire is, and I believe that probably everybody is saved in here. I don't know. Maybe not. But my desire would be that you understand the beautiful salvation that God has granted to humanity and the restoration that He wants to do in each one of our lives. That we understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is not willing that we as churches, and this is one of the burdens of my heart today, is that we as churches do not reject those that God brings to us. Because God wants every soul. He loves every soul. Jesus loved every soul and died for every soul. And He's not willing that any would need to spend eternity lost. He brought a wonderful salvation. I think it was in Acts. In Acts chapter 1, He says here, in the first chapter after the resurrection, and here it speaks about His ascension, about how He went, was going to leave them and go to heaven. And in verse 6 He says, when they therefore were come together, they asked Him, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Are you going to restore again the kingdom to Israel? They had at this point not received the Holy Spirit. At this point, they were still looking, I believe, for an earthly kingdom. I think they were still looking for a deliverer that would deliver them from the hand of their enemies and be their king. And Jesus was a mighty king. He was a tremendous king. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the question here that the disciples had was, will you not restore again the kingdom to Israel? Well, restoration was planned by God a totally different way than what they were thinking. And it is for us today, restoration, God's interested in restoring us. It came in a completely different way that the apostles thought. Restoration came with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And restoration came through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who overcame the devil, the enemy. Death could not hold Him. Restoration came by the shedding of His blood that He shed on Calvary, which looked like defeat. It looked like defeat until He rose that morning. I really appreciated what you all shared this morning. Restoration is the plan of God for the salvation of all souls. That's God's plan, is that we be restored to God, to God's ways, to God's people, be brought together. There is a scripture that really struck my heart here some time back. I preached on this before a couple times, but Isaiah 35, verse 10, talks there about a highway that is lifted up, a way of holiness. And then he says, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Joy and gladness is our lot in life after being restored. Joy and gladness, everlasting joy. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. My. You want to be a part of that? That's thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know that that's the plan of God. Now, I don't know. Jesus didn't tell them that there was going to be an earthly kingdom that way or not. And I don't know whether he's going, how, when this time of restoration will be, that the Jews will be saved, all of them, or not. I don't know how that comes. But I believe it'll only come through belief and faith in Jesus Christ. Once they received their Savior, once they received redemption, once, but before that, they have to see their lostness. Before they can be saved, they need to see their undoneness and helplessness before God. And so we all must come to that place, whether we're Jews, Gentiles, or whoever we are. If we're walking on 2 feet, we need a Savior. Right. And even if we're not walking on 2 feet, we still need a Savior. We need a Jesus that is able to help us and save us and redeem us and restore us. So restoration came in a completely different way. And restoration must continue, my people. Restoration must continue. We have such a tendency to be drawn back again, or to lose our zeal, or lose our connection with God. We're living in a very corrupt world. The prince of the power of the air has captivated the hearts of many people. And I was just agreeing with my brother here, who said something about it's so hard. There's so many things to distract us. That's so true. There's so many things that want to draw us away. The world has come up with many inventions. It has sought out and brought forth many inventions to try to destroy people. Well, their plan wasn't to destroy people. Maybe that isn't really what their plan is. They want to make life easier, but it actually makes it more difficult. The easiest life is to live in Christ. That's the easiest life. And it's also the life, now when I say easiest life, and you have to look at from a Christian perspective, but if you... Some people don't realize there's the cross. There's a cross with it. And that doesn't sound easy. And that part is not always easy. But with Christ, we'll make it. You know, we'll make it with Christ. Without Him, we won't make it. So if you're not saved, remember that without Him, you won't make it. But restoration must continue. Every soul is precious. Every soul is precious. Even you are precious. Everyone. You know, when there's even people of God like David, and I want to go back into his experience in life there, where he fell. And he fell away from his fellowship with God, and he was defiled with adultery and sin, and even to the point of where he took a man's life. And he met up with Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet pointed his finger at him and said, "You're the man. You're the man. You're the..." You know, he... And David saw that he had sinned. You know, sometimes God points his finger at my heart and he says, "You're the man." Sometimes God points his finger at our lives and he says, "You're the man." You know, that's not a pleasant feeling to have when someone points his finger at you and says, "You're the man." So, I want to talk about restoration this morning. This was difficult for me to bring together, but the Lord kind of helped me a little bit here on this, so I think I'll try to share about the things I want to share about, and that's on personal restorations, and then there's also one on family restorations and one on church restoration. And I think we need all restorations in all of those areas. Our personal restoration, if we turn to Psalms, let's turn to Psalms 51. I was so blessed with this psalm. The heart of David, after he had sinned, he says, here in Psalms 51, this was his prayer to God. "Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." David had seen his sin, and it caused him to cry out for mercy. "According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me." And then he says in verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Have you ever gone through things where you just... it was ever before your eyes, things that you had done, things that you have sinned, and it's ever there before your eyes, and you want it to be taken away. You don't want it there. I think that was the way David was here. He had seen his sin. He had seen the awfulness of what he had done, and it was just ever there plaguing him. And his cry was desperate. I believe we read this, you know, we read this prayer, but I believe it was a desperate cry when he cried out to God. He meant it with all his heart. I remember one time praying with a young man that wanted to be saved. And he was praying. We were in this furnace room. I remember it wasn't a very comfortable place to be, but we were praying together. And then he prayed. And I said, young man, his name I believe was Noah. But I said, young man, you'll never reach God unless you get desperate about it. Unless you cry to God with all your heart. And you know, that's just something for us to realize. Sometimes we know what we should do and we pray, but we kind of do it maybe to impress the other person or something. I'm not sure why we do it that way. But if you really want to get a hold of God, call out to him. Talk to him. Know that you're lost. Know that you have sin. Know that you want to get rid of your whatever habit or sin or whatever it is. If you want to really get rid of it, God will help you when you cry out to him. When you ask him in faith, God does help us. And I know that. I know it's for real. And you can be restored. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Having a free heart, having a clear heart, you don't have to put on joy. It's there. It'll flood your soul. God gives joy to the person that's right with him. Praise God. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And that's the next thing that happens. Once you get the joy and the peace of God in your soul, the next thing you want to do is tell everybody else about it. Isn't that right, John? You want to tell people about it. You don't have to go out street witnessing then. You want to go out. Not only that, you want to tell your family. You want to tell your neighbors. You want to tell everybody you meet, your best friend that used to be your best friend. Maybe it's the one that led you astray or someone that influenced you the wrong way. That's the first one I remember one time. After I was converted, I just had to go talk to my best friend about this. Well, he kind of looked at me like I'm a stranger, and I was. But he did listen, but he was Amish, and he didn't think that I was doing the right thing. But at least I know he heard the gospel. Because it just come out of me in my Dutch ways, I guess. But anyhow, we need personal restorations. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And therein comes restoration, taking on the yoke of Jesus Christ, even if we're heavy laden. We can rest in him. We need that. And then we go to family restorations. Family, you know, that's another place there. God wants to restore the family. God wants to destroy on this earth. If there's ever a need for that, I think today is a need. Think of all the families that are destroyed through divorce. God's will is that that there be a restoration come sweep across the country. I remember Brother Denny had a tremendous burden for that. Family restorations. And he preached some powerful messages and they affected millions of people, I believe. Malachi says, when he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers. There's family restorations when he turns the father's heart to his family, and when he turns the children's hearts to their fathers. That's the will of God. That was the plan of God from the very beginning, I believe, and I believe it. Human beings fell away from that. Another plan that has in our generations has, or another trend, I would say, that has happened, that has destroyed homes, and that is the mothers being away from home. Mothers can't stay at home anymore. They want to pursue some career, something to make money, something to get prestige and all that. And that's even among the churches. And I'm afraid we lose some of that if we're not careful. We're teaching our children, our daughters, to work somewhere else, to earn a living. It's time that moms get restored back to home, to love their children, to love their husbands, to love the Lord and rock the cradle in love. You know, it's time for moms to stay at home and take care of the children, to love their children, to love their husbands. That's what the Bible says. To be a Titus II mom. I remember some years ago there was a lot of a movement called the Titus II moms. That's all right. Moms, be a Titus II mom. That will save this nation. If we spread the gospel, let's spread that part of it too. Let the moms go back home, take care of their children. Let their marriages flourish. Let them love one another. Let marriage flourish again. That's restoration. That's the will of God. And then there's church restorations. And this is a real burden of my heart for the church. Church restorations. You know, it's sad. Somebody told me there was something like, I forget, was it 7,000 denominations of churches or Christian churches? And among the Mennonite people, there are a lot of denominations. And most of our church growth today, I believe, comes from just people being dissatisfied here, going over to this church because they want this or they want that. And so they separate themselves and they kind of mingle with the ones that they enjoy being around. And you know, that doesn't necessarily unify the church. If I understand this correctly, and I want you to correct me if I do say something wrong, but I'm concerned about all of this. It's not what Jesus prayed for. It's not what the heart of God was, and it's not leaving a good testimony in the world when we're always dissatisfied with where we're at, and we want the green pasture over in that church where you can comb your hair a different way or you can do something that you want to do. Let's remember Jesus. Let's be revived. Let's be restored to him. And I think we'll flow together. That's what I understand. This in the Old Testament prophets, they saw that. They said the Gentiles and the Jews will be flowing together. We're Gentiles and we can't even flow together, it seems. But, you know, the call is for us to flow together, not always be dividing up. Now, yes, I realize our congregations get bigger and there is reason to have more churches, more congregations. I agree with that. But it doesn't seem right that we have to be divided on every little thing that comes our way. We don't agree with it. I hauled people, and I hear a lot of some of this. But God's will is that the church be restored, where every soul is precious, where you look at your brother, your sister, your families, and every one of them is precious. Maybe they comb their hair a little bit different. Maybe their head covering is a little bit different. Maybe their pants are a little bit different. You know, I'm not saying that everybody has to be exactly the same, but we need to be restored back in another way, and that is to have a love for one another. We need that love restored. There's church restorations when no one can leave unloved. But no one can leave unloved. There's some people say, well, they don't love me anymore. They don't care for me anymore. My question is, do we love them? You know, if we're spiritual, do we love them? Do we love one another that way? You know that love is a powerful thing, and love never fails. That's what the Bible tells us. It doesn't fail. I remember when we first started meeting together, I don't know if you were there, Reuben, or not, during this time when there was a man among us that believed he was kind of strong on Calvinism, but he didn't push it among us, but he was really a strong Calvinist. The kind that would far stronger than I would think that he should be, anyhow. But I remember we had a burden for him and his family, and we'd used to go. He didn't come to church anymore, and we wanted to go. We just loved the man, and we decided that this is one thing that we don't want. We don't want to do. We don't want anybody to leave that they know that we don't. We care about them. We want them. We desire that they find what we have. Also, they don't have to be perfect. Well, we went to see him so many times that he finally told us, "Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone." He knew we loved him, and we cared for him. But he just said, please just leave us alone. We want to make some decisions, so just leave us alone. And we did then give him some time, but we still, if I meet him, I can still talk with him. You know, but it's a blessing when they can't leave unloved, when they know that we care about them. But there's when church restorations are there, the fountains of living waters burst forth. Isn't that true? When the church is, when there's the fountains open up of living water coming out, that's what it's supposed to be like in the Church of Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit moves and illuminates the Word of God, when the walls of the church are salvation. We have many walls. Many times we raise up these walls, but the walls that the Bible teaches are the walls of salvation. Praise God. Inside those walls you find salvation. When the grace of God falls gently upon every believer, that's when the church is restored, when the grace of God falls gently upon every believer, when the love of the brethren is so strong, they care about the welfare of everyone. And where there is no complaining in their streets, that's a quote from the Old Testament. There's no complaining in their streets. That's a revived church. That's a restored church. That's a church that God is coming for. Where churches help each other. We think about people care about one another when there's a fire, when there's a disaster out. People care and they go and help and they do these things and to help one another. I experienced that one time in my own life when my barn burnt down and we had left the Amish church and we had not long, just a few months, I would say, when this happened. And it was hard. It was hard for us. We didn't have much money to rebuild or anything. And my dear Amish neighbors, they all came in and helped. You know, they showed something to us that we need that. We need to bless each other, love one another. Good example. There may be things we disagreed on, but there was one thing we didn't disagree on, and that was to help one another. And they showed that by their love. Amen. You know, you can't beat a life like that. I just so desire that we could be that way as churches. Not adopt to the worldly patterns that the world has where everybody is so individualistic. But I see it vanishing even among the Amish people. I see that vanishing slowly. Many people are becoming much more individualistic than they used to be. Not good, not good. In all honesty, all need restoration. Even if you're saved, there's times we need restoration. I was just thinking back. I remember when every word of God, every word in the Bible seemed it spoke salvation. Every word in the Bible was something good. It was something exciting. It was something blessed. And I remember the times when prayer was an encouragement. When you just prayed, you prayed while you were driving, you prayed, you'd get love to just get away and pray somewhere. Spontaneous prayer meetings were a specialty. When someone called up and said, "Brother, can you come over? We need to pray for somebody. We need to pray for, or I have a struggle. Can you come over? Can we just have a prayer meeting together?" Those are things that I remember from our church life in the past. Do we still have that? Is there that still going on around this area? Do some other people need prayer? Do people from the outside call you and say, "Hey, we need prayer"? You know, are we effective that way? I believe that that's the things that happened in the early church. When I look at that, they were swamped with requests. And the Spirit of God was moving. And the people would come together because they wanted to hear the good news of the gospel. Even the Jews, even those Pharisees, many of them were converted back in them days. I also remember how we used to hurry to church. We'd hurry to get there. We wanted to be there. We wanted to be in church. Do you still want to be in church? Do you love it? You know, I loved it this morning here. I'll honestly say this was very near. That was the same that we experienced in our early Christian life. We used to have 26 miles to drive to church when we first were converted. And I remember we had this old, what was it, Buick, a big old clunker of a Buick car. And it wasn't the most dependable car, but it would get us there. And we used to pack the family. It wasn't hard to get everybody ready. I mean, well, maybe my wife, I'd let her say that, whether it was. But for me, we'd hurry through the chores. And sometimes we got time to take a shower, not all the time. Sometimes we probably smelt a little bit like the barn yet. But we'd hurry to church because we didn't want to be late. We loved to sing the songs, and we wanted to hear the devotions. And I remember a prayer meeting one time. At prayer meetings, we didn't have anything special planned. And so it was kind of get together to pray, and then somebody would get up and share something. And I remember this one time, I'll never forget this. I don't know what was so impressive about it, but it just thrilled our souls. That chapter still thrills my soul, but Ephesians chapter 3. I remember Bill Byler getting up and reading that chapter, and we had a Bible study on that chapter. I mean, and it was just awesome. But those were such blessed times. It was such a blessed time. We just loved the fellowship. We loved the testimonies of the Lord's moving. And we'd hear about, it was nothing unusual to hear testimonies on Sunday morning. Sometimes we just didn't get much more testimonies done. You know, people having talked to their neighbors, or maybe somebody got saved. And at one time, I remember going to prayer meeting, and someone got saved that night at the prayer meeting. But those are things. That's when restoration comes to the church, things like that. Keep it alive, brothers. Keep it alive, church. Keep all the love of Christ alive in your midst. Keep it alive. Amen. But are we there yet? I'll just have to admit and tell you that I'm not always there yet. I feel like I don't know, am I just too slow anymore? But I just can't seem to make it. Or what is it? I don't want to make an excuse. I just want to be there. I don't want to be late for that last meeting. And then Psalms 23 also speaks about restoration. There he says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, He restores my soul when I'm weary. He restores my soul when I'm weak. He restoreth my soul when I'm worn out. He restoreth my soul when I've been discouraged. And He restores my soul when I confess my sins. He restores my soul when I'm brokenhearted. He restores my soul when I'm yoked to Him. Restoration. Is your soul restored? Are you yoked to Christ? There's a scripture here in Galatians also that it mentions that word. Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you know, if you'd see two people fighting, get into a fight, and the one is a dear friend of yours, he's a brother, and someone is attacking him, and he's overcoming him, he's trying to beat him down, and he's standing there with his hands above his head, and he's being overtaken by this fault. This fault is trying to conquer him. If someone is overtaken in a fault, he says, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. I think it's all right to go over there and put your arm around him and pray for him. When this fault is trying to overtake him, when this fault is trying to get him down, considering yourself, what if you were there? What if you were the one that was struggling with that? Wouldn't you want that? Wouldn't you want somebody to come and help you out? Wouldn't you pray for him? Wouldn't you put your arms around him and help him find his way to overcome that fault? Oh my, the time's here to close. But he says here, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, and bear one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. Amen. You know, church life is a beautiful life when you have brethren that do that for you. Praise God. When they come and help you when you have a fault or a struggle or something in your life. Then in James chapter 4 is another one, a scripture that I'd like to just go through. I'll try to go through this fast. Chapter 5, I'm sorry, I was on the wrong page. Go to now, you rich man, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of your laborers, who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You've lived in pleasure on the earth. You've been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just. He does not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren. Notice how many times he tells us to be patient here. He says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Excuse me. Be patient, brother. Something that's a little missing in our days, in our day, is patience. And then in verse 8, he again says, be also patient, establishing your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. You know, when we grudge, it's probably many times because we're impatient. We're impatient with someone. But remember that when we're impatient with someone and we make rash moves and we do things in a rash way, remember, someone, you may make it hard for someone by being that way. And it, this thing will come around someday and you'll be the one that someone else is going to be impatient with. Remember to be patient. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken the name in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Sometimes we suffer because we're of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. And that's probably, you're probably happy this morning because you're enduring here. You're enduring me preaching this to you. So you're probably pretty happy this morning. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. And then he, that's talking about church life, I believe, and about being with one another. And then the last there, just let's just say yes, yes, we do not to swear. And I know that's, we sometimes take that out of context, but I think this is actually probably more in the context of in the church. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's restoration. I see it in there. Restoring health. Praying over one another. Restoring one another's health by prayer to God and having God. You know, God is, the Lord is our best doctor. He has more degrees than any other doctor that I ever met. I think the Lord, that's one of the things that I noticed when he came on the earth. When you read in the Bible, he just restored people. He restored their health. People that maybe didn't even have faith to believe in him right away, you know, but they believed on him after that. They did believe. And he's still able to do that. I think this is important. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Oh, that's just trusting God. That is putting our faith in God. And when we do that, we can confess we have faith in God. We also have faith that he'll forgive us our sins. And that's so important, I believe, to be restored. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But the verses that I really wanted was the very last verse. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Let him know that converteth the sinner. If you put your energy into saving some soul that maybe he's a Christian or had been one and has a fault, if you put your energy in to encourage that soul to be saved, you've saved a soul from death. Yes, you saved a soul from death and will hide a multitude of sins. Let us have that kind of love. Well, there were many others. There were more scriptures I could have shared, but I guess I had too many rabbit trails this morning, so I'll leave some of those and let you go. If you want to go into some of those, go back to the prodigal son there in Luke 15 and see how God restored his soul. See how God reaches out to the souls of men to restore them. Always remind yourself, this is something I want to just, I said it for myself and I'll just share it with you. We have a heavenly Father above. He's got a heart full of love and he's got a heart full of mercy. And the Lord is able to save you. The Lord is able to save you. Always remember that. If you need restoration, find a quiet place to pray, which is sometimes hard to do, isn't it? But find a quiet place to pray. Find a good friend to share with. Find a time to think. You know that we have so many things going nowadays that we don't have time to think. We always have to have some noise going, some music, or something to chatter our brain, to shake our brain. Maybe it would rust fast if we wouldn't have it. But I think we need quietness. Remember to be honest with your Heavenly Father, to be broken, to earnestly seek him. I think that is one of the keys. You'll never find him unless you earnestly seek him, unless you diligently go after him. We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss that great homecoming, that coming where we'll come together and sing and rejoice forever. Another thing to remember is he understands your struggles, your pains, your fears, and your failures. I know he does. I know he understands those things. And he gives you sweet peace. Peace that passes all understanding. I guess that was a message to my own heart. God bless you if you struggle with anything like that. God help you and bless you. Thanks for allowing me to share these few things.